Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
It is such a joy to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio and to talk about the things that matter most when it comes to having a solid pro-life apologetic, being able to really defend the point of view that says all lives are equally valuable from conception forward until natural death. That's what it means to be pro-life. And it also means that we uphold women and couples in need in a time of pregnancy. It means that we, especially as believers in Christ, come together to support and uphold life as a value and as a practical matter in the lives of others around us. You don't have to be Christian to be pro-life, but the pro-life message is at the very heart of Christianity. And I cannot think of an organization that communicates this better than Human Life Alliance. Human Life Alliance has distributed their compelling educational materials to over 212 million people over the past 26 years. Their publications have been found in all 50 United States, over 86 different countries, and in all seven continents. And they're beautifully put together. And again, the content is irrefutable truth and compelling in communicating that message as well. Joining us today to talk about the mission of Human Life Alliance is Joe Langfeld, who's the interim executive director. Joe, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, thanks, Kim. It's great to be with you today.
After working for the U.S. Congress right after college, Joe joined the staff of the St. Paul's outreach at Human Life Alliance. He's now serving, as I said, as interim executive director. And I love this little detail in your bio about the name Joseph, meaning he will add. You draw a parallel to Joseph in the Bible. I'll give you the chance to do that for our listeners today, Joe.
Well, you know, if you're a Christian and you're a Christian man in today's world, Joseph can be a common name, especially in the 60s and 70s when I grew up. So there's a lot of Joes in a room when you go to a church. And so I'm always looking for a way to differentiate myself or say something. So I just draw that parallel that, you know, the name Joseph means he shall add or he shall add wisdom. And when people introduce me and they use that to mention that, I just say, well, you know, my brothers and sisters were well aware of how I would add to our conversations, and maybe like Joseph in the Old Testament, if they could have sold me off for slavery once or twice, they could have thought about that. That's what happens when you grow up with brothers and sisters, right?
I love it. It's a very fun story. So, Joe, let's talk about Human Life Alliance and some of the things that you're working on right now. As I mentioned, your publications have been out there for 26 years. One of the things I so appreciate about HLA is how cutting edge your materials always are. They're always geared not just for the next generation, but they're accessible to anybody who wants to look at them. They're mocked up to look like, whatever the most current graphics that are in use in magazines or online publications, and there's just a quality to the productions that's really outstanding visually. But let's talk about where the emphasis is on the content that of the publications that HLA is working on right now. What's your primary initiative right now?
Well, thanks so much for those nice compliments. We appreciate that. We work hard here. Well, right now, as we look at the fall of the year, we're always talking about gearing up for the next academic year in our outreach to high school and college students. So this year's theme is Stand Up. It's a magazine designed to talk about abortion in a way that college students particularly can understand. We're trying to reach them in a way that they can think about it. So the first thing some would notice if they looked at our Stand Up magazine is it's not obviously pro-life when you look at the cover. As a matter of fact, you can't tell what it's about. We've been accused by pro-life kids and kids who stand against us as just lying to them. But, you know, the idea of advertising or reaching out to people in this world with an educational or informational message is to say, will you open this up? Will you pick it up and look at it? And then the kids who are against us will go through page by page and tell us why we're wrong. So we know they're reading it. That's half the battle right there. It's just to get them to engage with the material. So it talks about abortion from points of view that they've never heard. One of the biggest comments we hear from students on campus is still, I thought it was a blob of tissue. They don't even know basic biology. So we're working on a real basic level to share introductory gospel truths, just getting them to recognize the truth. Most of our pieces are secular in nature, reaching out to these kids. But what we want to do is kind of create a crack in the heart, the kind of stone cold hardness of the heart of people in today's culture, so that Author of Life can get in and do some work. That's our theory.
Well, and what I like about this is that, yes, it's a magazine, something you can hold, take a look at, put away, take back out, share with friends. But you've got a website, which is, I mean, of course, everybody and everything has to have an online presence. And the way that this thing is put together as a website is beautiful because it matches what's in the magazine page for page. I think it's iwillstandup.com.
Yep, and that's a new venture for us this year. We're testing it right now on campuses across the nation. And we call iwillstandup.com a microsite. Some people in the internet industry might call it a landing page, but it's a really tiny little site that's compact. And so if you go to iwillstandup.com, it can be shared easily, quickly across all the social media tools that are out there. You could email it to somebody. It can be viewed a number of ways. I was just talking to our web guru in office here, and he was saying that some pages load as quick as a quarter of a second. So if a young person reads on their mobile device, on their tablet, or on their phone, they can go to this and they see it almost instantaneously, which is unusual. If you went to our website to request product, it takes way longer for stuff to load.
Yeah, it takes. And, you know, that's really important for anybody listening who doesn't understand this, that young people, if you're making them wait more than 2 or 3 seconds, they're gone. They're just going to go to the next resource. They're going to try and find it someplace else quicker. Is that why the importance of the fast load time, Joe?
Yeah, and they'll just get distracted.
Right.
They won't hear our message. So what's really neat about this is...
Chicken, on to the next thing. Oh, man.
Really, that's the way it is. I watch that with my kids that are in college. I'm like, can you not focus? How can you be that smart and still not get it? But they have a culture that's very different than the one you or I were raised in.
Sure.
You know, they're just on to the next thing as quick as possible. Even when I would watch my kids this summer, let's say it was the evening and we tried to watch a family movie. A movie we watched this summer was called Little Boy, and it was just this beautiful movie.
Great movie,
but they were watching the movie. They had their laptops open and their phones going at the same time. There's no way they can pay attention. They kind of have this millennial Pavlovian response to some kind of click when something pops up. They look at it and they're already moving on. So we've got less than a second to get their attention. That's what I Will Stand Up is designed around. And then what we're doing with it to effectively reach kids, we're testing a geofencing strategy right now, which is an advertising strategy. So we can pick a point on a campus, depending on the social media app we want to reach through, and we can say all 18 to 24-year-old females within this radius, say a mile of the center point of campus. Some apps let us pick as small as a building on a campus. So we can put some advertising dollars at that and say, look at this, look at this, look at this, and try to reach these kids in a way that's other than just the print medium. Now, we're really excited about our print material. It's the basic work that God has us doing, and it has the ability to change hearts and save lives unlike you'd ever expect. I'm always surprised at the fruits of the printed materials. People can understand and share more complex information in a printed document. But just to reach the sheer volume of kids, to have them think on a college campus about being pro-life, that speed at iwillstandup.com is really exciting. It's working, too.
Yeah, and I think what you've said about the distraction is really important because, you know, while somebody, and it's not limited to kids, I've had my phone out while my husband and I are watching TV at night, you know, or vice versa, you know, and suddenly an elbow is flying. Wait, you just missed the best part. You know, you just missed the emotional payoff. It's the emotional content. And I think, as you say, a magazine or printed material that has the capability to change hearts, it isn't because it's just imparting information. It's the way that it's doing it. It's the graphics. It's the way that the copy and the words are put into, are being put together, to really impart wisdom, to really impart life-changing information. And Joe, I want to back way up and talk about the level of ignorance, because as regular listeners of this program know, I have an abortion in my past. I was 23 years old. I had been accepted at one of the top universities in the country at that point in my life. I was not stupid, nor was I ignorant. But when I was told that it wasn't a baby, it was just tissue, I believed it. And I think part of the reason why the abortion industry is still able to get away with that is because, yes, young people are disinterested until it affects them personally, and at that point they're looking for an out. And so when they told me not a baby, that was when I stopped listening. Okay, then I'm free to do this, right? But I think also sometimes, you know, we refer back to that basic biology. Maybe you got, it looks like a cluster of grapes. It's a picture of the blastocyte, the very earliest, you know, iteration of life before even the embryo and then the fetus. So let's go for somebody listening today who thinks that it is just tissue, that it's not a human life, that they remain unpersuaded that this is a life and a valuable life, from conception forward. Let's talk about how Stand Up and some of the other materials at HLA seek to educate people, not just young people, but seek to educate others about what the truth is about how life begins.
That's a really important piece to the argument. We, you know, there's a broad range of items we can talk about when we start to talk about the humanity of the preborn child, and even to go farther to say the gruesome realities of abortion. But we kind of all have to have a baseline on, you know, when does life begin? That's actually one of the most popular questions we ask on campuses. When do you think life begins? And people forget that. As Christians, we don't know when God imparts a soul. We could take a step of faith and just say whenever he imparts life for human beings. But we don't really know that. There's no official teaching on that we could say in the Bible, this is what it is. So we know that life begins genetically or biologically at that moment of fertilization. Growth happens. And all the genetic material any individual is going to have for the rest of their life is present then. It's an amazing piece. And kids that go to college in this particular world that we're talking about, you'd think they'd had their biology classes, but they don't know this information. They don't know that the cell divides into two, and that division happens as the child moves down the fallopian tube and implants in the uterus and kind of makes that nest in the womb of the mother. They don't know that by day 21, a heart begins to beat, that their muscles are forming in that first month, the first 4 weeks, arms, legs, eyes, the ears, they all begin to show up on that developing child. It's, you know, you can see videos online from any groups. You can find it at iwillstandup.com as well. It's just amazing. It's truly a miracle from our faith point of view that all of this information comes together and a person develops out of this. Mm. But right away at the very beginning, there's no doubt this child is a person.
Do you know, and if you've got your mobile device while you're listening to this, just go to iwillstandup.com and take a look at this part of the website. It says, when do you think life begins? And there you see fetal photography, including an illustration of what fertilization looks like as the sperm joins with the egg. But after that, we're seeing photographs from in utero development. We see the fetus in the second month at 5 to 8 weeks. And then in the third month, there's a close-up of the fact that there are feet with toes. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful educational piece. And then at the end of the display, which takes you all the way through the ninth month, you have the question, when do you think life begins? It's pretty hard to say, you know, at birth, once you've seen all this evidence of the humanity of the unborn child. I mean, that part is just beautifully done. So some of the other things that are dealt with, you know, if people may get that right away, they may not even need to view that information before they say, sure, I understand, it's a human being. But then we get into, you know, some of the other subtleties or some of the other, you know, big difficulties. And HLA's IWillStandUp.com is really, you know, it's very thorough. There's information there about abortion methods and what really happens. And I think that's only fair to include that. Was there any controversy on your team as you considered editorially what to include on this part of your educational outreach?
Well, we always review every year for whatever materials we're developing. What's the next step? How do we present an argument to people about life and for life? So we have the good fortune to have an excellent board of directors that are very prayerful and really consider, you know, what our approach is in our outreach. And they're very committed to where they think the Lord would have us on that. So not so much internally on would we show graphic images of an aborted baby or not. We don't. It distracts some people. There are some people that can really change their hearts. We have traditionally printed a piece, and so we put the descriptions in there for people to have to think about it. Now, the neat thing is we're partnering with a group called Live Action, and they did a video series with a former abortionist, Dr. Anthony Leventino, and he describes how this happens, how abortions happen. That adds another layer, even though they have some drawings and some animation. We still don't show the graphic images. We let the words speak for themselves. And if you're at all open to the truth of life, or if you've never been open and don't understand the procedures here, it can rattle you. It's pretty gruesome what abortion is and how it treats life.
And I that live action video went viral as soon as they published it, and it's been viewed millions of times online. And I think it's a beautiful depiction because they use models, so it's not gory, if you will, but you can't escape the reality of what you're seeing in the way that it is depicted. And Dr. Leventino's testimony is just invaluable, isn't it? So there's a section on IWillStandUp.com on rape and incest. Let's talk about that, Joe. It's, you know, fewer than 1% of cases, but it looms large. Of course, if it's you or your sister or your loved one, it's devastating. We never want anyone to ever have to suffer that. We have to offer complete compassion and care and support to women who have been victims of that crime, and we have to prosecute it to the full extent of the law. But how do we reconcile defending unborn life when there is a case of rape or incest?
Now we're talking about what we call the hard cases, the hard choices here, because it is difficult. How do we reconcile these terrible crimes, these terrible acts, while recognizing the sanctity of life, especially for us who are Christians, and we recognize there's more going on there than just biological development? How we talk about that is we simply share stories of people who have, women who have conceived during rape, and we have a large number of those, and so we pick which ones we want to put in publications and how we want to share them with people. But their testimonies always come down to this. I recognize that this child in my womb is alive. It's not just a clump of cells. And I can't make that new person pay for the crimes of their father. And we know from experience and with doctors who do counseling that abortion doesn't actually fix the psychological consequences of rape or incest. As a matter of fact, in the case of incest, abortion is often used to cover up the crime. You know, because then there's no physical evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a really difficult area of ministry. But women tell us time and time again that in the case of incest, it's their release to bring the baby to term. It finally exposes the relationship. In the case of rape, these women make heroic decisions to still stand for life, even though it might be a crime and it might be a terrible memory that helped bring this child into the world. They find that they love these children, and God changes their lives through the life of the child, just like all parents experience. So we want to recognize the dignity of that child in the womb, no matter how they were conceived. It's just a hard Christian truth to understand that we don't kill people for other people's crimes.
Amen. And it is a Christian truth, absolutely. And it's such a countercultural message, and it's a sad statement about our culture that we've come to that pass, that Christians are seen to be obstructionist by standing up for defenseless human life. Incredible, Joe, but I really appreciate the beautiful way that you articulated it. Joe Langfeld is our guest. He's an interim executive director at Human Life Alliance, which is a nonprofit pro-life educational organization. And they're dedicated to creating a culture in which all human life, from the moment of fertilization to natural death, is respected and cherished. And Joe, we've been talking today primarily about I Will Stand Up, a new publication, as well as a micro website, iwillstandup.com, to help college, it's primarily college age, high school to college age?
High school and college age. It's used primarily on college campuses, but church, youth groups, anyone in that age, both men and women, young men and young women, it's targeted at. That's what the text and the design is made for.
Sure. And so this is interesting that HLA has boldly gone to, again, offer a pretty countercultural message, saying that on iwillstandup.com and in your publication that abortion is harmful to women and that there is a connection between abortion and breast cancer. It's still incredible to me that these things are controversial, because the science is there that proves that both of those claims are so. But let's talk about that for people that are not persuaded, or for people for whom that's a new idea, that abortion, first of all, is harmful to women.
Well, it is on every level. It's a major surgery. There's always risks in any major surgery. So we would have to understand it at a minimum, that there's risk there, and women who have abortions experience a higher rate of ectopic pregnancies in the future, which is difficult, higher rates of infertility. That's the consequence of doing surgery on the uterus that is meant to house and protect and grow a new life. So surgeries can often end up damaging other parts of our body or the parts of bodies that we're working on. We just don't know enough in medical science to guarantee that that won't happen. So it's difficult. And then when you mentioned abortion and breast cancer,
yes.
That takes it even farther. We know, our advisor on this area is Dr. Angela Franchi, and she's a breast cancer surgeon of many, many years. And if you look at Stand Up or some of our other materials, you'll see her description of the biological development of breast tissue, how it works through three and four different types of breast tissue, and bringing a child to birth in a natural way actually helps breast tissue develop and be cancer resistant. But when a child's life is halted midterm, that also has an effect on the mother's body, and that breast tissue is not allowed to develop into the cancer-resistant breast tissue. So it goes partway and gets halted and left there in a state that's more cancer susceptible. There's a lot of data, and doctors who have been in on the studies with the CDC and groups confirm and tell us privately and publicly that when they questioned, are they looking at all the data, they're dismissed from the room. They don't even want to hear it.
Right. That was, and the video evidence was presented in the Hush documentary. I urge anybody listening to see that, and you will find the confirmation of what Joe Langfeld is telling you there. Joe, we have just about 3 minutes remaining. I want to talk about disability. I recently spoke for a group of high school students presenting the case for life through Life Training Institute. I'm sure you're familiar with Scott Klusendorf's work, very much on message with HLA. And one of the first questions the students presented after I was finished was about Zika virus and disability. And I had a really touching story I shared with them, but I'd like to hear your answer, because that's not directly dealt with on the iwillstandup.com, but I know that HLA, dealing with euthanasia and all of the issues around the value of life, has materials about how to sort through this moral issue as well.
Well, you mentioned Scott Klusendorf, and what we share with students is an acronym he developed with Stephen Schwartz, and it's called SLED. I have heard you even mention it before, too. We talk about what's the difference between a child in a womb and maybe a two-year-old, a toddler. And it's simply size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. So what's the difference? So even with the Zika virus, where there may be a connection to birth defects, not all studies show that, by the way, but we would still be aware that, you know, we want to do the best we can to raise our children, so we could be aware of this. But even if our child is born what some people would call physically incomplete or different than some of the rest of us, just because they're smaller, just because their level of development is different, or they have a degree of dependency different than us, does that make them less human? Does that make them less of a child of God? That's not true at all. Myself, I have diabetes. I am dependent on drugs to keep my life going. If not, I could die within 6 months if I didn't take these drugs. I'm dependent on that. Does that make me less of a human being? It does not. So whether it's Zika or any disease or any potential change to the child in the womb, it doesn't make them less of a human. It doesn't make them less of God's creation.
Well, Joe, we are out of time, but I really appreciate you joining us. And Human Life Alliance is doing such great work. We've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks, Kim. God bless you and your ministry as well.
Now stay with us. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls here at Faith Radio at 1-800-811-3003. Talk about some of the top stories on the life issue in the news this week at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being here. We are live once more after a week off last week, and glad to have you with us with our phone lines open at 1-800-811-3003 for your phone calls. And we have a pro-life resource that really ties into our guest last week. Abby Johnson was our guest, talking about her volume, which is, I think, number 3 on the Amazon list in her category this week. It's a book called The Walls Are Talking, and it's stories of former abortion workers and how they have recovered from their time working in the abortion industry. And it's an amazing volume. And we have a copy for our callers tonight at 1-800-811-3003 if you would like to receive Abby Johnson's book, The Walls Are Talking. 1-800-811-3003. You have to join us on the air. At least say hello. Tell us your name. You can choose a pseudonym. If you don't want to share your name, you don't ever have to give a name. You can call anonymously. We definitely respect your privacy here at Cradle My Heart Radio, but we do want to hear your voice. So 1-800-811-3003 to receive a copy of The Walls Are Talking. And you can tell us if you happened to hear the interview last week with Abby Johnson, if you have some reaction to that, or whatever's on your heart to share. We've got some stories in the news we want to talk about. Maybe you'll want to react to some of these stories. Also, a program note that our podcast spotlight at cradlemyheart.org this week is from an interview that we did with Reverend Samuel Rodriguez back in September, and he really talked about how abortion has very racist roots and it's a very racist practice today. And he says it's absolutely reprehensible and that no Christian can vote for anybody that would support Planned Parenthood. He was very forthright in his statements. And we are a 501c C3 nonprofit organization. So as such, we don't endorse candidates. And I don't really regret that caveat to what it is that we do in this particular election cycle, because it's so divisive. But we are not replaying Reverend Rodriguez to necessarily support a particular candidate, but to help you think through that issue, how that issue would inform your vote in this election cycle. Because here we are, just a few days out. So just wanted to mention that. You can access the podcast at cradlemyheart.org. and click on the promo box there that says podcast highlight. One of the fun stories in the news this week in pro-life news came from Chile. A group of women there who are pregnant put together an amazing demonstration where people were able to hear unborn heartbeats pulsing through the streets of Chile. A group of pro-life feminists marching to protest abortion, part of a project called La Voz de Corazón, or The Voice of the Heart, organized by pro-life feminist movement Reivindica. My Spanish is really rusty. But while they were marching to government buildings in Santiago, pregnant mothers amplified the sound of their unborn babies' heartbeats with megaphones. So they had little amplifying pads strapped on their bellies, and then the megaphones were hooked up to the amplifiers. And it was an amazing thing. Part of the reason why the women have chosen to do this is because Chilean President Michelle Bachelet has been pushing to ease the country's total abortion ban since before she was elected in 2014. Ban is one of the strictest in the world in Chile, with women who have abortions and doctors who perform them eligible for jail time. Doesn't always work out that way, but there is a ban. And studies have shown that it's a very effective deterrent. You know, there's a lot of rhetoric that says women will always have abortion. Heard that from a man on an airplane last week. Of course I'm against it, but women will always do that. Well, no, they don't. Where there's a total ban in Chile, there are very, very few abortions. And there are very few illegal and unsafe abortions, because that's always the tactic that's used to raise fears that women are going to be harmed because they need abortion. They're going to have them anyway. If you make it illegal, they'll just make it unsafe. It hasn't happened in Chile. And that's why these women are taking to the street to try to see to it that it doesn't happen. The group shared the story of their protest in a moving video. And we've got this on our Facebook page, that is, which is just facebook.com/cradlemyheart. And part of it, one of the spokespeople in the video says, for the first time ever in the Chilean public debate, the matter of those who have no say is going to be challenged, those who cannot express themselves, who cannot allege anything, who cannot lobby parliament. And being able to be the voice of those at the present who have no say at the present in the matter is simply overwhelming. And, you know, that's one of the things that has been so sweet to me in the aftermath of abortion and sharing my testimony of learning the value of the life of my unborn child too late. I learned it too late. But the reality is, and one of the sweetest things is that that value is ongoing, because that life continues to speak, even though it was ended way too soon. As I have shared the story of, I believe I have a son in heaven. I named him Emmanuel. He'd be about 38 years old, just about this time of year, pretty close to Christmas. And his life has so much meaning, because telling the story of who he was and how coming to grips with his short life and his early death is what made me a follower of Jesus Christ. His life has eternal meaning. Every life has eternal meaning. And so for these women who are giving a voice to the heart, I really applaud it. It's an amazing thing that's happening in Chile. And we had thought that the heartbeat began at 21 days. New research out of Oxford shows it begins at 16 days, certainly before most women have any idea, an inkling, that they are pregnant. 1-800-811-3003. If you saw this story or you have a reaction, maybe you have a story about a fetal heartbeat in an ultrasound procedure. It's one of the most sweetest, the most intense moments that young parents experience. Share your thoughts, 1-800-811-3003. And our gift to you tonight is The Walls Are Talking by Abby Johnson, 1-800-811-3003. The concept behind Abby's book goes back to a movie from, I think, the 1990s, Sissy Spacek, Cher, and I think Jessica Lange played three women who were just supposed to be ordinary women and their stories were to illustrate, you know, why it was important that abortion be kept legal. And Abby Johnson writes in the foreword of the book that, you know, and that film was called If These Walls Could Talk, because there was so much silence and so much stigma, and abortion was so taboo at the time. And the purpose of the movie, of course, was to end the silence, end the stigma, end the taboo, normalize abortion, and really put forward this idea, women are always going to have abortions, it's just normal, and those of you who are against it need to get over that. And so Abby picked up that theme with the title of her book, The Walls Are Talking, and it's really striking that there's a fly on the cover of the book, and it's got kind of a double meaning, you know? You want to shoo away a fly when you see it, and you, all the implications of a fly landing on that book cover. But, of course, the fly on the wall is listening, right? And when these former abortion workers told their stories, it completely belies everything that says, well, women will do this, they need it, it's normal. It's profoundly unnormal. It's profoundly wrong. And everyone involved with it knows that it is killing. Everyone knows that lives are being lost. Everyone knows that humanity is being destroyed. And, excuse me, as the women share their stories, mostly women, abortion workers share their stories, it's extremely difficult to argue that stigma from abortion has to do with the judgmental opinions of religious people. That's always part of how the stigma is portrayed and a reason why the stigma has to go away. I spent some time this weekend, too, 1-800-811-3003. If you'd like to win a copy of Abby Johnson's book, The Walls Are Talking. Spent some time this weekend on YouTube, and I was there for a different purpose, but I, in the sidebar, you know how they'll suggest videos for you. And there are a lot of videos right now about my abortion experience or my abortion story from generally women in their late teens and early 20s. And some of them have had hundreds of thousands of views. Watched one of them, and I'm not going to link to it or tell you anything that would help you identify it, because I think that at some point this young, particular young woman is going to regret having put this on YouTube. She put it up there because she said she couldn't find out anything about what actually happens in an abortion, and so she wanted other women who were going through it to have the advice and benefit of her experience. And she contradicted herself at every turn. She said she didn't believe it was a baby at 6 weeks. She believed it was just tissue. But then she talked about wanting to see the ultrasound and wanting to keep the picture of the tissue, of the nothing. What? She was so emotionally confused. It was really difficult. My heart really went out to her. She talked about how she got advice to go early because the Christian pro-life protesters would be there in the morning and it would be that much more upsetting. So she went and she avoided all of that. And then the rest of the day, she was really upset. Wait a minute. I thought it was those protesters that were supposed to make you feel bad. I mean, it was such a muddled mess. And believe me, I'm not putting her down because I was 23 years old and I was not a whole lot better. I was mostly just numb and passive. I didn't even have the presence of mind to say, well, maybe someone else could benefit from my experience, as this young woman was trying to do. But when you hear the stories of people who see it and are around it day in and day out, not just someone who goes in for a one-time sad experience, because this young woman said yes, it was extremely sad, even though it was, as she said, the best thing that she could have done at the time. I think it's extremely eye-opening to hear from those who really know and who have really, really had the experience of being on the inside to know what abortion is and what it actually does to the people who are around it day in and day out. So your phone calls are coming up. We're going to take a short break, give you a chance to get to the phone and dial at 1-800-811-3003. It's a toll-free call, and we'd love to hear from you tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
a safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are here live on the 6th of November, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. And let's go to the phones and say hello to Jess. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. How are you tonight?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on the program. I think I might have mentioned that I'm from northern Minnesota, and I've been pro-life as long as I can remember. I'm a 48-year-old married husband of four, and the reason I'm calling in is because I think, you know, you have been on the program in the past, and I enjoy listening to the stories and the truth that's being told in the station and in your program, and your brutal honesty about the abortion that you underwent. And but the story I wanted to relate was there was a time in my job I had recently here, career for 18 years, and I had a boss tell me that I had to remove a picture off of the wall because it was of this little cubicle that I occupied, because it was a picture of a bloody abortion. An employee complained because the coffee maker was in my cubicle area, and I said, no, I don't. And she said, yes, you do. And I said, there's absolutely no picture like that there. Well, go look. And I had forgotten completely that I had taken a picture. The first picture I wanted to take, a print on my colored printer that I just purchased, was a cutting-edge surgery. I think it was the 29th in utero surgery on the spina bifida, a child with spina bifida. His name is Samuel. And I guess it's a website dedicated to his current status and his whole story. But what happened was I had taken a picture from the Time magazine or Life. I'm not sure which it was now.
I remember the picture. The picture is the baby grasping the surgeon's finger, right?
Exactly. And the gentleman who was there, the photographer who took the picture, had a radical change in his understanding and his belief. And, but, yeah, I was told to take it down, and I walked into the office with the picture because it was stuck underneath the cabinet, not instead of anybody. And the intent wasn't to hide it, but I didn't want to put any pinholes in it. But anyway, we had a little discussion about that, and it didn't matter. She said, you got to take it down either way. I thought about going a little further with it, but I guess I made my point, and she didn't want to hear it. And people have just hardened their hearts in so many ways against life. I'm just going to say that I want to applaud you, and you have our prayers and financial support. And if we keep on keeping on, the truth sets people free. And the more people hear stories of babies being saved, and I'll just throw this one in. I'm the godfather of a boy today who's 32 years old. He's a diesel mechanic. And I talked this young lady back in ninth grade social studies class. It was summer school. I was taking it for fun. She had to retake it, and I got to find out some things about her, and she was pregnant with a child, and she was talking about having an abortion. She was talking to me, and I said, well, you don't want to kill your baby. And we got to know each other a little bit more in the class, and I said, well, I'll be your child's godfather in the future. And it was bizarre, but it turned out that she had the baby, and the father apparently was in the service, and military service. And anyway, I stayed in touch with him. He's a mechanic up in North Dakota, and I just want to praise God that that worked out, and more men need to call into your station there and share their stories of life, whether it's something like my story or whatever they have to share. But thanks for all you do there. I just wanted to share my story with somebody.
Oh, Jess, I really appreciate that. Wow, there's so many beautiful highlights to what you've shared with us here. I wish I could remember the boy's name. Do you remember the family's name, the mother and child in that photograph?
It was Samuel Armas, I believe.
And I think that my husband met his father. He may be employed at Delta Airlines, where my husband works. But anyway, it's a stunning thing to think that someone would object to that picture, because it's just, it's an amazing image. And I guess, I mean, and we know why they objected. And, you know, I applaud you for putting it up in your workplace. And I understand, you know, I think discretion's a better part of valor, to know when to fight which battles, right? I mean, I had someone say to me on the plane, well, of course I'm against abortion, you know, but women are going to always do that. And I was pretty flat-footed in my response, you know, so I think all of these experiences prepare us for the next one, right? So we'll
That's
be
correct. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. I had no other recourse but to comply in this case, but I made my point. And when she saw the statistics, I actually put it in her. I printed out something and put it in her inbox, and physically printed it out at home, and never heard another word about it. But those that are adamantly for abortion, they're not moving very easily. But God can move hearts and change minds, and I think I planted a seed, and I'm hoping and praying that that's the case with this person. So.
Awesome, Jess. Well, hold on, and we'll get you a copy of Abby Johnson's book, The Walls Are Talking, and thank you so much for your support. And I want to say to everybody listening, men and women, that it's a huge lie that men should not be able to have anything to say about abortion because they can't get pregnant. That is the biggest lie. One of the biggest lies among the many lies about abortion. Of course men have something to say. You know, the policy that Roe v. Wade put into place is the most profoundly unjust policy when we think about the fact that if a woman decides that she doesn't want the baby, he has no say. If she decides she wants the baby, the state will compel him to pay. This is not just. No men's rights group has ever been able to prevail and point out that grave injustice to fathers, to men who want to have an equal voice in the lives of their unborn children. But the rightness or wrongness of abortion is not a matter of gender. It comes down to that one question: what is the unborn? Science of embryology tells us that from conception forward, it's a distinct, living, and whole human being. You don't have to be a man or a woman to understand that. And whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter if you agree with it. That is what the scientific facts tell us. And so for philosophically to say that half the human race should have no voice in the lives of our fellow human beings, it's stunningly absurd that they get away with that. It's just stunningly absurd. And I think that I understand those women who have been abandoned by men, because I felt that that was what happened in my case. I no longer necessarily look at it in exactly the same way after coming to faith in Christ and learning the process of taking accountability versus blaming, you know, including blaming myself. But I understand what it is to feel you have no other choice. By God's mercy, I've never suffered a rape. I can't say I understand that experience from the inside out. But the notion that most men are coercive and violent is simply untrue. And we know that deep in our hearts. Thank you so much for being part of the broadcast tonight. Thank you for caring about this issue. And thank you for your support. I hope that you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, where you'll see that we are launching a one-minute feature called Cradle My Heart Today, with stories of unintended pregnancy and abortion, recovery after abortion in faith and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we could use your support with that, and you'll find out all about how to join us in our new efforts at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much. You know, The love of Jesus Christ compels us. Whether you've had an abortion, whether you've had an unintended pregnancy and placed a child for adoption, whether you had an unintended pregnancy and were married and suffered stigma or rejection or judgment because of being unmarried and pregnant, the truth of the matter is that Jesus loves you. And his love is where I want you to keep your focus, because that's what he says. We need to look at how he sees us through eyes of love, through eyes of mercy and eyes of grace. To learn more, go to cradlemyheart.org and join us again next week. Thanks so much for being with us. Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.